Well, you know who else will be champing at the bit? Adam Pengelly, because he was a late scratching yesterday because I think his kids were ill. I hope everything's okay, Adam. Good morning.
Morning, Ryan. Morning, guys. Yeah, can't do much about it this time of year, can we, Ryan, unfortunately? So, quick trip to the doctor yesterday, big dose of antibiotics for both the kids, and let's hope they can improve the next couple of days. So, I'll apologise about yesterday.
No, good stuff. Great
You're
to have you
not going
to
chuck
us.
It on the invoice still, are you, mate?
No.
I know what you like with money.
I'm honest. No invoice.
Okay.
No invoice.
I know a couple of the bosses are away and I thought you might want to sneak it through.
Yeah, sneak one through, eh?
All right.
Let's talk racing, Adam. Think it over. We just saw this horse over the last couple of seasons just grow into one of the better weight for age stars of Australia. We know he's strong over the mile. There were some questions of him over 2,000 metres, but he proved the doubters wrong, and now he's targeting the Cox Plate.
Yeah, that's right, Ryan. So obviously Kerry Parker. He likes to keep thinking over in Sydney last spring. He always had those big bonus races going all the way through the Hill Stakes and the Craven Plate and the Rose Hill Gold Cup. But he's got him back in work now and has firmly identified the Cox Plate as the main mission later in the spring. So they would have the chance to go down there last year, decided against it. And the revelation that he was throughout the Autumn Carnival, obviously winning that amazing Queensland Stakes on National Wheelers Ride, they've decided to sort of kick off in Sydney with a couple of runs, maybe target the Winx Stakes first up, and then head down to Melbourne and all roads lead to the Cox Plate. So with a bit of a dearth in our weight for age ranks, you could say at this stage at the moment, they're very much up in the air. Looks like a really suitable race and obviously targeting the prestige later this year in the spring.
Adam, can you give us an update on Chris Munns? We know Melbourne Cup winning jockey turned trainer. He's been charged by Queensland stewards, and this was off the back of an incident in 2020, but also CCTV footage emerged at his stables at Eagle Farm.
Yeah, that's right, Jamie. So this issue's been going on for the best part of 18 months, almost close to 2 years, and he's been charged as well as his son, as well, with administering an alkalising agent to a horse in his stables going back the best part of almost 2 years. And now stewards up there in Queensland have used CCTV footage to try and bring the matter to a head. It's obviously dragged on for a very, very long time. I must stress that Chris is vehemently fighting the charges at the moment along with his son Corey. So we'll wait and see how that plays out. It's certainly been a very big week for integrity up there in Queensland. A couple of their higher profile trainers, like Robert Heathcote and Chris Munts, both in the spotlight, so to speak. Let's hope we can get a resolution on this in the not too distant future.
Looking at Rose Hill Racing on Saturday, Adam, I'm sure you're still probably getting for the form 10 races on that particular meeting, and D'Andretti is to be a headline act.
Yeah, we're deep into winter racing, aren't we, Ryan, at the moment? So a lot of benchmark racing, and we're not quite sure how a lot of these horses sort of progress later in their campaigns heading towards the early part of the spring. But no doubt she's a headline act, D'Andretti, the little sister to Libertini. She made a huge impression winning her debut at Hawkesbury going back to last year, and then obviously was first up into the Fury Stakes in the spring. And off only the one run, she was very heavily backed in that race and then pulled up with some issues and a bit of a couple of horses home, had a virus. Now, Ronnie Quinton's decided to give her a very long spell to try and let her get over that. She missed the rest of the spring. She missed the entire autumn as well. So she's pretty much, her three-year-old season has been a write-off. But he's going to give her a run or two at the end of the season now. She'll obviously tackle a benchmark 72 at Rose Hill there on the weekend, provided she doesn't get a run in the midway there. So we'll see how she measures up. But she's one of these horses that could go on, race for the next month or two and try and catch a bit of some of these other horses on the hop at the start of the spring with a bit of fitness edge. So very keen to see how she goes under Andrew Atkins there at Rose Hill on the weekend, and certainly a horse to watch from what we've seen at the trial so far this campaign.
Yeah, and I don't know whether you caught any of the racing yesterday from the Kenzo, Adam, but did you happen to catch the run of Airman in the first race for the Hawks camp?
Yeah, I saw it very briefly, Ryan. I was obviously off yesterday with the kids all day, so I must admit I didn't have much of a bet, but I did see the run of Airman very quickly at the start of the day. He's a nice horse, obviously, going forward as a maiden, obviously, on debut, so a couple of nice trials. We'll see where he ends up later in his campaign, but not uncommon for the Hawks to have these horses at the back end of their two-year-old season start to flourish and mature, heading towards their three-year-old year. So from what we've seen so far at the trials, those famous colours, he might be a horse to follow going forward. But that was a big win there at the Kenzo track yesterday.
Adam, I just wanted to ask you about an article that you've got in today's paper, just about the PGA of Australia. They're supporting the US and Europe, and this is just regarding that Greg Norman's breakaway Saudi tour.
Yeah, this is fascinating, Jamie. The PGA of Australia have not made their stance clear at all in the last month or so about the LIV Golf and Greg Norman's Saudi-backed tour. It obviously have implications for down here in Australia because we're heading towards the summer of golf and our two biggest tournaments down here, the Australian Open and the Australian PGA, are both co-sanctioned by the DP World Tour, which is formerly the European Tour. So a lot of people are wondering, saying, well, if the European Tour comes out and bans a lot of these golfers from playing in the European Tour events, does that mean we can't have these guys coming back to play in Australia for our two big events? Because we have a very, very short window there in Australia to showcase our best events. So the PGA of Australia came out last night and said that we're supporting the US, we're supporting the DP World Tour, and the stance they're taking against Greg Norman's Live Golf. So they haven't come out and firmly said they're going to ban golfers from our big events later in the year, but it's a fascinating sort of, I suppose, story to watch, because our events in Australia will be here before we know it, in sort of November and the start of December. And obviously with Greg Norman, his name's linked to the major Australian Golf Award, the Greg Norman Medal too. So I don't know how that's all going to play out, given the fact that they've sort of turned their back a little bit in some respects on his new tour. So definitely I watch this space, it must be said.
Adam, Manly Melbourne, the big one, Brookie tonight. Who wins and why?
Good question, Doggy. Good question. I think Melbourne in a tight one. I know Munster's going to be out tonight with that shoulder problem, but I just think they've probably still got a couple too many guns for Manly at the moment. Obviously, with Papenhuyzen coming back, it should be a fascinating game. And Manly, it's a huge, huge game for them, isn't it, Doggy, tonight? Because they're just seeing that clump of teams on the edge of the eight there with the Rabbitohs, the Dragons, the Roosters, the Raiders, and they need to try and rack up these wins. I know it's a very awkward game sort of 4 days after Origin, a lot of their better players flying back across from Perth, but it's a huge game tonight. I'm going to tip Melbourne 1-12 in a really close game.
Good on you, Adam. Thanks for joining us this morning.
See you guys. Chat tomorrow.